summers hot over there, or were they?
Yeah, it was quite hot, but it always cooled off at night real good. And we needed the heat because we had all that fruit. Like for me, the cherries came already, and then the apricots, and then all the fruit through the summer, and then September and October, that's where the grapes got ripe. And they didn't cut them until the first frost went over. And then that's what they said, they got sweet, see? Mm-hmm. And they had people coming, we had people coming from Odessa, rich people. And they bought your whole vineyard, the crop, not the land, they bought the crop. They said, you get so much. They came in spring and they bought the whole vineyard and the fruit trees. We give you so much. A tree and stuff, you take care of them all summer, and fall when it's time to pick. They came out, they had their big wagon, like what you call a flat box, mm-hmm. and then they had grates in, and they brought some people along, but you could help too, you got paid. And then they picked their grapes, and they picked the apple, and the cherries first, then the apricots there, the apricots in June, and then all the way down, and you got good. Because transportation was real bad. By the time we would pick them, haul them into Odessa, would take 2 days and a lot would rot. So they came, they had a thing going. And then they made a deal with you next spring, how it looks, how the tree looks and everything. And they came, you always had your same buyer, and he came and bought it, that stuff. And then a lot of people kept some grapes, you make their own wine, like we had wine laying from 5-6 years in the cellar, never touched. And then you could sell them. You got a good price, and they made whiskey out of that too. If you didn't need the money, you could leave it laying. But that's the way we had our fruit.
Now, were like the wheat fields and corn fields, did they have quite large fields, or were they small?
Well, see, when they divided the land, you know, first when they came in, they got as much as they could handle, but people had nothing to work with, they had no seed, they had no money, so they took a little, you know, maybe a quarter or maybe two. And then later on, well, there's always people came and always people came. Somebody else wanted them. Well, then they had a land commission set up. Well, then they divided. Well, with a father with two sons. Well, then he got 3/4. So many hectares, what they called. I don't know how many. But it was okay. They could make a living too. But then there were so many. You didn't have the money to buy the machinery. And then you didn't have no horses. You had no plow, and then you had no seed. So some people went in, got themselves different, like worked in a different job instead. And then some people bought their land up, you know. But it was they could make a living, you know. They could. Nobody got really rich, but they made a living, you know.
I imagine some then ceded some land and still had a job in town too, or the wife a job in town like today.
No, it is not like this, you know. Mm-hmm. Like where you live, like in Strasbourg there, everybody, whatever the shop they had, they were on their own, you know. Well, they hired the Russian people, they came over and they worked next to nothing. Maybe like the Mexican come over here, worked for 75 kopeka a day, you know. With the food, and they were glad they could get it, you know. They came every year, you know. But see, you had to have more people because the corn and the sunflowers all had to be hauled, and then the vineyards, they had to be cut, you know, every spring, and they had to be hauled, they had to be tied up and cleaned up and stuff. So you need a lot of hired hand to help, you know. But that was not like here, you know, you get an extra job or what. You did whatever you did, you were satisfied, you know.
And then so it like all this cultivating and hoeing, especially by the fruit trees.
This was all handwork, yeah. And then pruning all the trees, pruning the the grapes, like in summer, you know, they grew up as high as 10 feet. We had to put some, they had put some posts in and tie them on when the grapes were hanging, it was heavy. So in fall, they all had to be cut up, covered up with ground, you know, and take them pail, put them sticks together, and they tie them up and put them in a little rap house, what they call, where they put all the tools. So that this was a lot of work, yeah. So they needed a lot of help. And that you can do that with the machinery. You had to do this all by hand. Yeah.
That was your grandpa Feist that lived there in the center of this town that we drew on the map. Is that
correct? Yeah. Uh-huh. Steve
yeah. Feist.
Definitely, yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you remember the saying used to invite people to their wedding?
Yeah, we used to say like they picked a nephew and a niece to be like the junior bridesmaid, and so we had to go around. We had a little stick in their hand, and then there was a little, just like little ribbon, and we said in German, die Braut und der Bräutigam lasst euch sagen zu ihrer Hochzeit seid ihr geladen. And that was the invitation, see. Mm-hmm. So we went from house to house. We had it written down on a sheet of paper who was supposed to invite. And that was the whole invitation. There was nothing else, no cards or anything.
Now, about how many people did they usually invite? Approximately 50 or 100?
Oh, they had more. They had about 100 too, and even some more. See, the first day, then they celebrate like with the close family, like you say, 50 or 75. Then the next day, the whole youth, all the young people came, you know, all their pals from both sides, and then they had their party. So that's the way it was, yeah.
Did they sew all their own clothes, like the bride and the bride?
Yeah, there was a Schneiderin, you know, a lady. And there was two of them in our, in Strasbourg, and they made wedding gowns. And the groom, the man too. It was Schneider, they made the jacket and everything. Oh yeah. So the veil and everything, just the shoes they had to buy. But the veil and all the Grenzel, they used to say, that was made with wax. They were made all by hand. They were dunked in wax. And then it had this little... And here, their
corsage.
Corsage, it was all made with wax.
Oh, so there was no cloth flowers or paper flowers or anything like that?
No, there was nothing,
no.
But they decorate the house too. They had some... greens, they put like a arch around the house with green stuff, and they put some paper roses, that's what they make. And the one with the bogey, what they took the bride and groom to church, that was all with ribbons and stuff, you know, decorated, you know. But in church there was nothing. We just went in like regular mass or what, and then... And if a girl was in trouble and they had to get married, they had to be married at 7 o'clock in the morning. With the mass and everything, but it had to be at 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Did like the groom then and the best men, did they have clothes, suits different than what everybody wore like they do today? Like they
there was just navy blue or black, and the bright white all the time. And their flower girls, all white, yeah. But there was black and navy blue, that was the two colors they were. Nothing like here, white or champagne or whatever. No, there was just one, this one, yeah.
And that was, they were made just like regular suits then? They weren't like the tuxedos
today? Just like a regular suit,
like regular
yeah.
Suit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know when my mother got married, and... Then they had black wedding dresses on. That was in 1918. And then they had a big train in the back and a short little skirt, a blouse here, and that was pulled together, you know. And then they had some kind of corset who made this around here, you know. And it had stripes, silver stripes down here, and it was black. A black, yeah, there. And then they had a shawl, a white shop, silk shop with long fronts of stuff. That's what they had hanging over. Oh. And a cross. Yeah, when she got mad at it. We had it hanging a long time in the closet, and pretty soon it just fell apart because it was silk and stuff, so it just fell apart. Yeah.
So that was really different. I often wondered when they started this custom with the white dress.
Yes, yeah,
you know?
It started there in the 20s. Yeah. But before it was black. Black or dark green, she said. And, but they were all homemade. It was not you go and tour this and buy yourself. No, there was all.
And the meals, did the family?
No, they hired the cook. Yeah, oh yeah, the cook came to the house and he hired, but you had to tell her what. Well, it was always the same. Like they took old hands and they make chicken soup, but they made the noodles. But they cut it. She cut it so fine. And then they had ketchup sauce and meat and coleslaw or their own salad, you know, beet salad. And then they had sugarcu, you know, as much as you, and all the wine you could drink. And then in the evening, they had like sausage and ham and potato salad, and all the salad was left, you know. And then the next day, when the young guys had their day, then they cooked vegetable soup, a big kettle of vegetable soup. So that's what they had. Yeah.
So that Hochzeitskuchen goes way back, huh?
That goes way back. And, you know, at that time, you had to do everything because there was no ice boxes or nothing. So they butchered the chicken and they put it in a big barrel and they hung it down in the well, in the water overnight so that it stayed cold, see. And then the next morning they took all they put it on and they made the soup. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Can you mention the names of some of the streets in Strasbourg?
I think we had an honorary.
That was when we had on the phone.
Oh, on the phone. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's Unodorf, they call this Unodorf, that means the main street, who went straight from Strasbourg to Baden. I know the second street is Skeslik West. It was a little shorter. There was another one, Sondgesel. It went up where we got the sand when we, you know, we always scrubbed the floor. We had no wooden floor. Saturdays we always had to scrub the floor and then we sprayed sand on. So that's where we got our sand for the floor, the Sondgesel West. You know, the Schreibgesel, where people had a lot of their vineyards, and that was that one. So there's verschiedene Gesle, but that's...
Now, in these different dorfs in the town, you know, that were blocks like we have today, were the people living close together then in them residential areas?
Yeah, they almost had two lots, how you say two lots. And they had their house and they had their shed and then they had a garden, the vegetable garden, what they had, just what they used over the summer, see, you know. They had other vegetable gardens down by the river or in their vineyard, but just what they used for over the summer, what they planted, that's what they had. Yeah, then they had the cellar and the summer kich, you know. So there, yeah, it almost like here too, yeah. You could talk together, you don't want to stand out in the yard, you could talk to your neighbor, yeah.
Did they ever try to can any of the fruit or anything?
No, we tried everything, like the vegetables were all made in barrels, like the cabbage and the watermelons, we all pickled that. And the apples, what we got and saved them, you could keep them in the cellar till spring, till May, you know, the cellars were so cold. And like apples and
Svechkin, like, what you call, boons, grapes, apricots, we all took the stone out and we laid them on top of the roof, you know, put some sheets there and laid on top of the roof and dried them in the sun. And when they were dry, we put them in sacks and hung them in, up in your attic. And if you want to make fruit compote or what, you went up and got the bowl full, and then we made dumplings in compote, you know, what they call fruit compote. That's what we did. We cooked a lot of jelly, you know, because there was a lot of fruit, you know, and sometimes we had more than we could, so we cooked a lot of jelly. But there was nothing from canning. We didn't even knew nothing about canning. Maybe later on, way later on, but not, no. Until I came to Germany, that's when they canned the stuff. But then the meat too. The meat, the butcher made sausage, they smoked them, salted the meat, smoked the meat and hung it up in the attic, and it was cold up there, so it lasted real good. And then over the summer, we made the sausage for over the summer, and then we rendered the lard and poured it over and set it in the cellar. And see, that lard sealed the sausage, so every time we took the lard up and took it in the sausage out, put the lard on again, and we had sausage till fall.
Yeah, that's really amazing. You
but
know,
like just the chicken and stuff, if you then you had to butcher them and cook them right away, because there was no ice box. But we had ice cellars, two of them. So if you wanted some ice, you know, the people who worked out in the field, they got big barrels. They filled them with ice, and then they stuck the milk pitchers in or the water pitchers, and they had big chunk of ice. You know, all winter the boys. They worked for that man, you know, he paid them, they went down to the river and they cut the ice in blocks. They all filled the ice house and put straw over. And you could go down by yourself 2-3 blocks and chop it off and then stick it in. That's the way we kept the cream and stuff, you know, until you make your own butter. But then that's what they had to use with the ice then. You have to buy the ice.
Yeah, that is really amazing how they had ways to
help themselves. And mm-hmm. I said it didn't take much schooling, it just took practice and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Because in a school you couldn't have learned that. Mm-hmm. You had to work with it and do it and see how it works, and that's the way it did.
Yeah, that's just really using plain common sense, you know.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, there were two big ice houses and you could go and buy, you know, the ice and use it all summer.
Did the family make their own butter then too, I imagine?
Oh yeah, we had butter turner. Mm-hmm. Some of them you turned with the hand, and some of them you pushed up and down, you know. And the butter always, the cream was always in the cellar, was cool. And whenever we had to make butter that morning, you had to get up real early, as long as it's cool, you know. That's where we made the butter. And there's a guy coming around, he bought your butter, mm-hmm. and he hauled it to Odessa, you know. He waited, he had to wait, and he got so much a pound, you know. Took it away. Till next week he came again, and if you had eggs too, the same thing, or you have your chicken or ducks or what you wanted to sell. He came, he drove through town, he blew his horn, and then every lady walked out, she had to pay a big bowl full of butter and stuff, and she sold it. That's it.
Did they have mostly chickens at that time then, or did they have turkeys and geese?
Oh, we had ducks. Not geese, but ducks and chicken. Ducks and chicken, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot. Everybody had the big. It's not a swimming pool, but it was just like a little thatch out cement, and you filled it with water while your ducks went around there. So that's the way we kept the ducks, yeah, happy.
Did each family have any pigs or horses?
Oh
then?
Yeah, we yeah. Pigs, some people raised them to sell, and some of them just raised for themselves. But you had to have a little pig house, you know. You were standing, there was four posts, and it was like this. So the stuff fell down, the waste, you know, and they had to haul it out. It was a little roof on, you know, and a little trough. You could feed easy four pigs because you had all that vegetable and stones. Like when you made the wine, one fall we made so much wine. So we pressed all the wine out and we took that stuff and my mom said, throw it in all to the pigs. And pretty soon my sister came in, she said, the pigs are all dead, the pigs are all dead. And Ma went back, she said, no, they're drunk, they eat so much of that wine smell. They were just laying there, were drunk.
So yeah. Pigs, I guess, can't handle it.
They could handle it, but they thought they had to eat the whole thing and so. No, but we had horses too, four of them, and then two cows, you know. But some people had more. You needed, that was the only transportation you had with horses. But everybody walked wherever they want to go, they walked. They never, there was no car or nothing. No.
About what year can you remember, you know, when they started getting those old-time tractors to start doing work in the fields with tractors?
Oh, that was in the 30s when communists took over. Not when the people worked for themselves. It started in the 20s there, but in the 30s, that's when. See, that time we didn't own nothing anymore, so they took everything. But then they brought them big tractors with them steel wheels. Whatever they call them, I don't know. But that was in the tourism. And then they came with the combines and then them big tractors and the big plows. And yeah, that's what it was in the tourism. Yeah.
Now, did you have periods of bad drought over there too, we did here in the 30s?
There were 7 years, you know. I guess my ma used to say, well, I was kind of young yet, but she said it started in 27 and lasted till 33. That's what she said. There was nothing crew, nothing. And then that year in 33, 34, then that's where we had hunger snowed, you know. People died for hunger, you know, they just died because there was nothing crew. We had nothing and we didn't get nothing. The government didn't give us nothing again. So many people died. They just laid on the street, blowing up, and they died. And then it started getting better. Then we had rain, we had crops and everything. But then the communists took everything over again. That's what they, I don't know, that was a bad, but that was in 40, it lasted about 5 years. That's what my mom said, you know. But they drove way to Moscow. She sold her golden cross, sold her wedding ring for bread and for flowers and stuff. So we didn't starve, you know. And she bought some bread and she cut for every day and she cut little pieces so much so it lasts long, you know. That's why I'm so glad. I said when I have 3 meals a day and a roof over my head, and I said I'm the richest person in the world. So I always remember that. Yeah, that was bad that time. But
did the soil from the fields blow into sand piles too then, and up the fences here?
Well, there are no fences and there are no rocks. But it blowed up in hills, like just like a water wave comes, you know, like this. But see, there's no rocks. You couldn't take a rock and throw it at a bird or what. There's no rocks and no fences, nothing. The field was just plain field. It was not wheat field as far as you can look, but no fences, nothing. But there's some distal growing too, and all kinds of weeds, stinkweed and stuff like this too. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I said that when communists took over, then they had this program, you know, like how to work the land. You know, you leave so much land, you dead and dead, and then See, people didn't care, so they didn't work as good because it wasn't there. So the land got all, you know, how you say, for no class. They didn't care to do a good job, so the land just stayed laying idle and stuff like this. You know, everything went backwards, you know. No matter how big the machines were, they didn't. But like Ukraine was the breadbasket from whole Russia, you know. They sold wheat to the whole world, and pretty soon the people were starving, you know. But it was the communists who made them starve, so.
What, did they just allow the farmer a certain amount then, or how did they?
Well, they made, you had to let you go, you work for a company, you get so much paid.
Oh, just so much paid.
You get so much paid when the year is over, but if nothing grows, they couldn't pay you nothing, so you had nothing anyway. So people had just to live for this little garden, what they have, and then pretty soon they made a law, you only could have one cow, and pretty soon they took the horses away, so you had not even horses, because they said they needed. So it was bad, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's just like you work, it's a corporation, you work for a corporation.
See? Yeah, our government better wake up before the corporations take over here.
Yeah, that's what it is when it's corporation, yeah. Where I used to work, I worked for in a vegetable garden. We had, I don't know how many hectares. Oh God, there was a lot of all young women and girls working there. It was everything irrigated, but we raised from everything. But they would make their eyes open here if they would work, if they would have to work like this. Oh God. There's no Sunday, no holiday, no nothing. You just be there all the time, that's it. You got no time for yourself. Nothing.
Now, how were the different owners' land divided then if there were no fences or anything? How did they know, you know, where
they
know, ended,
the,
you
the
know?
People knew where, how many acres they had, you know, and people were not that, I mean, greedy, so if you come a half a foot over or half a foot over, people got along real good, you know, that was, no, that had nothing to do. There was no fences, you know. They know they own so many hectares and stuff. Even if, you know, even if you seed it over, then the next said, well, cut it in fall. I didn't care. I came a little bit too far over. So that was all. There was no.
What about now, like in the pastures, you know, the different people's cattle that they have just...
The pastor, see, there was only one pastor. See, you paid for your cow. They called it the kihat, the fish here, you know. He went and he, in the morning he came and he took your cows out at 7 or 5:30. He went through every street while he had some kids here. And he took them, there was a well there and everything. And in the evening he brought them back and each cow walked in the yard where she belonged. And you pay this man over a year. See, that land, see, when they came in, that's what the people said, we have one fee by the one piece of land, you know, just for the cattle. So you could have three or four, you pay by the head. That's what it was.
So they all just grazed together in the same pasture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like this Monday had them on the east side, and then, well, and then he moved it to the north side and let this grass come up, and so he moved them around. And it started from April till September. That long, yeah.
Now, did they have any areas where they let some, if people, bigger farmers had more cattle, where they just put them up in the mountains during the summer and then bring them down?
But that is in Germany. That is in Germany. That's not in Russia, no. That's in Germany. That's in Austria. They take them over for the summer, why did they take them up, but not in Russia, no.
I know, that's when we were over there, we saw that.
Yeah, but not in Russia. No. And watch them, you know. But every horse, there was always two horses tied together on account of stealing. Mm-hmm. You know, there was That was something in Russia, horse thief, you know. But and then some young boys, you know, they hired themselves out. They watched him through the night, you know. But they always had, just like you take a criminal with handcuffs. So they had two horses together all the time, and watched them. But there is no hay. You don't make new hay. There's no hay. It's just, you know, what they eat from the corn stuff and corn and oats and stuff. But no, there's no hay.
So then, like the horses at a time of the year when they weren't doing field work, did they take them out in the pastures too then?
In winter time, you mean?
Or even, yeah, in winter time or even in the summertime when there would
they
be...
They had them out in the pastures at night, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were walking out in the pastures, yeah. They had a big pasture where they had the horses, you know. They were watched too, yeah. But they had the horse in each barn, you know, had an iron cross the door, and that was locked. Even if you could go in the bottom and the top, but you could take your horse out but in some places they saw the truth. It was a crowbar, real heavy, and in some places they saw the truth and stole the horses. That was way back, you know. Later on, it got better, you know. They got punished real bad if they stole horses. That's one of the biggest crime they ever had, you know, stealing horses. You know, they were so precious, you know, because there weren't many around, and they needed them horses to work the fields, you know.
Now, talking about crime, was there any other crimes like stealing food or?
Oh yeah, there was a lot. There was killing too, you know. I still remember. This is a sad story, but I was a big girl already. I think I was 14 or 15, yeah. When a boy from next Orchard, you know, used to have a girlfriend in Strasbourg, and they used to go together, and then she became pregnant, and he didn't want to get married to her. So one evening he came and he said, well, he changed his mind. He thinks they're going to get married. He'll take her up. Go up to his folks, and that was just 2 kilometers to Baden, you know. So, and in her house, her mother used to be a Bettschwester. Well, not a Bettschwester, what they call it. At that time, we had no priest or nothing. So people used to go together, maybe 10, 12, and say the rosary every night in October. So that night, it used to be in their house, and then she went in and she told her mom. That guy came and she said his name, and Ma said, yeah. So they went, and on the way they had to go to a big vineyard, and each vineyard had a little house there where you put your tools and your stuff in. And he took her in there and he killed her, and she didn't come home. And then that lady said, well, maybe she stayed overnight with his folks, and she didn't. Wasn't scared at all. So a teacher from Baden, you know, had to teach school in Strasbourg, and he always walked this road down, and he had a little dog. And before he came in that vineyard, that little dog was running ahead, and he went around this little house and went around this little house, and he said, Mayu. So he drove, walked by, and that little dog wouldn't let him go. And he went back and he opened the door, and there she was laying dead. And then while he went straight to Strasbourg, you know, to our community, and he reported, and the police came, and they had blood dogs, how do you call it?
Bloodhounds.
Bloodhounds, so. And he traced the drag straight back. Well, he was home in his house. He had made it then and then everything, but you know, that I remember is, you know, when I see a crime like this, then it always comes like this, and he got in for life in prison, yeah. Hard labor in Siberia. That there was crimes too, you know, people got killed. killed too and stuff. And like you say, you know, people stole cows or what because, you know, they had nothing to eat or they were hungry or stuff like this, you know. That happened too. Oh, yeah.
I imagine like prepared fruit or meat hanging someplace or laying someplace probably too, huh?
Oh, yeah. You had to be, even if you had your door locked, you know, that doesn't matter. You cannot lock a door for a thief, you know, they get in anyway, you know. And that was not such a thing, you know, as a bank, because people didn't have that much money, you know, so they kept it in a little safe or a little box or whatever. But you had to be careful too. You had to know who you can trust or what, you know. Well, later on it got a little better, but before, you know, it was, there were robbers too, lots of robbers too, yeah. But it wasn't such a, like you see, it happened in Strasbourg. Well, that took maybe 2 months until it came to the next Ortschaft, because people didn't went back and forth like here, you know. Well, you take the phone, you call, and it's still warm by the time they hear.
Right.
And that time, you know, like if somebody dies, you had to send a rider, like somebody with a horse, to notify the relatives and stuff, because there was no telephone. Telephone came real, you know, made the big cities and stuff had telephone, but I mean, like in a dorf, you know, that there was no telephone. There you get a letter or what, but it took forever to get it too.
Now, was there was some radio already, or wasn't there no radio at all yet right away?
Oh yeah, the radios came in the dirt. The radio came in the days, yeah. See, a newspaper was Russia, Investia, and then the Wanderer. See, this came from Germany, that Wanderer, but it got stopped by the government, so that didn't come. And if you wanted the newspaper, then you had to take the Russian newspaper. There was only lies in, so nobody. But see, a lot of smart guys, you know, they made their own radios, you know. They got outside information, but you couldn't ask who they are, and they wouldn't tell you either, because they were afraid, you know. They didn't know who their friends or their enemy was, so they kept it for them. But later on it came out, you know, they built their own radio, and they had receiving station where they got that stuff, you know. But that time you couldn't tell, you know.
Now, if some of these did get caught at some time or other, would they have been punished?
Oh, yeah. They are the enemy of the land, and that's a crime against the state, and there's no way they could get out of that. You didn't see them anymore. No. That was it. They not even had court with people like this. They were just taken away, and that was the end. No, they didn't have no court or nothing, because you wouldn't go and testify. You couldn't. No. And like they had that time, like in the 30s, they had homemade abortion too and stuff like this, you know. Just, yeah, oh yeah. There was quite a few that happened. I suppose that's all over, but it happened in our community too, you know. It's quite a few. Two of them even died on it.
Well, there wasn't really much doctor care at that time, was
well,
there?
Well, you know, that was such quick work, you know. Some lady did it, and then something got wrong, and they died, you know. But you couldn't go and sue her, because she didn't say you're supposed to come to her. To, you know, you went to her for that, so there's no, but that happened too.
Now, if they say like they got an infection, I suppose there wasn't really much medication
to. That time they said they had to drink something, I don't know, it's back in my mind, but I cannot figure it out. They had to drink had to drink some kerosene and stuff. I don't know. It's, and then it's supposed to be a boar that seed it. It a boar, but it died in him and it stayed in him. And then a boar, that then they had this infection and then they died, you know. Yeah, there was a couple of things. Yeah, that was life, yeah.
Seems like many of these things, you know, that happen today, you know, like this abortion and this robbery and killing, and it actually all goes way back to the beginning of time already.
Oh, yeah. It goes, yeah. And you always think, well, that didn't happen that time, but it did happen too. And that's, like, it did happen when a rich girl, you know, got in trouble or what, it got covered up and all that stuff. You know, it did happen the same like here, you know, there's not just so much, you know, it's, but here, you know, it's almost, I said, sometimes you wish you wouldn't hear nothing anymore, but if you didn't listen, then you know nothing either.
Right.
But it was terrible that, you know, even among the Russian people, you know, they were not even that educated yet, like the German people were a little bit more up to date, but they, poor kids, you know, there was no help for them or anything, you know, they were just... Now, today even, abortion is much higher in Russia than in the whole world.
Oh.
Yeah. I listened to the Donahue was in Moscow, and they said it. They say they cannot raise no family because they have no housing. Take abortion.
Did it happen quite often or very seldom that any of the Germans got married to a Russian?
Yes, it did happen, but not in so much. But then after the war, in the 30s, when there was more educated German girls, and then we had the army close around, a lot of them got mixed up with like lieutenant and colonels. There was quite a few, but before there was never hardly any plain German girl would marry a plain Russian. No, it just happened among the educated, the ones who had a good job or a teacher or. Like I said, the army, you know, and we had the army there at least 5 years. A big caserne was there because from us to Romania wasn't that far, and that was the west, so they were in guard there. So there was quite a few who got. And then the funniest thing happened, you know, when the German came. All them girls were single. See, they didn't went with their husband. See, they had to go to the war. And now all them girls were single. But there were. But never heard, we had quite a few Jews living in our town. They had a little shift, you know. They sold shoes and stuff. And there were young people. They went to school with us and everything. They had a synagogue there and everything. But never heard of a Jew got mixed with a German. That, and not in the four colony where we like Baden, Selz and Conrad, I never heard anybody get mixed up with a Jew. But with Russia, well, not the early one, but later on when they had school and stuff, so that's what they did.
Did you hear of, you know, like Americans marrying German girls like there during the First World War and so forth? Or?
Well, see, the First World War, that I wasn't even born that time, you know, so that I wouldn't.
And then in the Second World War, you were still over there though, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in Germany, but I mean, there was quite a few who got married to, but a lot of them ended up in divorce. There's a lot of them. Here were, I heard already, who were married to, they married over there, when they come back, they were not divorced from the first wife, and they had, well, there was quite a few, yeah. There is quite a few black kids over there. But it's not the girls slept with the black guys, they raped them, see.
Oh.
see the rape. There were so many, you know, like the white ladies and the girls, they couldn't go out as long as they were around, because each and every one. And you know what them white girls, they don't take, they give them kids up. They're all in a home, in a foster home or with the orphanage. They didn't take them. There was, oh God, thousands and thousands. But you go over to Germany, you see so many blacks, just you go down to Atlanta. And they were all kids where they were raped.
Well, didn't they ever get punished then?
No.
They just
see, when the war was just, it was just when the war was towards to the end, you know. And I guess what they always said over there, over here, they emptied the jails and sent the black guys, the criminals over there. And it was like this. In every house they went, you know, like in Germany, everybody mixed their own wine, everybody mixed their own whiskey and stuff. And they took this all and they got crazy. They start drinking and celebrating. They went, and they say their commander couldn't do nothing with them. They said, we are here and we're fighting and we can do what they couldn't control them. But the girls over there, they made a face with black, made a face, you know, black and had old clothes on and walked like old ladies. Now you go, oh yeah, I seen that. I was there.
Just to try and get away from.
Get away, yeah. And if they found out, and see, there was so many people, young women, widows, they living out in the country. See, when the big towns got all bombed, and there was nothing to eat, no shelter. So the government, German government, took all them ladies, put them out to the land. And they helped the people a little bit, and so they had to stay till everything was straightened out again. And each and every one got hooked with one.
More evil?
Yeah, I said like them guys, them big shots.